So at the turn of the first to the second century, there was what was called an apostolic father by the name of Papias. And the thing about Papias that is so interesting is that a couple of centuries later, the earliest church historian by the name of Eusebius speaks about how Papias was a contemporary of a man by the name of Ignatius of Antioch. And we know that Ignatius of Antioch was martyred in Rome sometime in the first decade of the second century. Now, why am I mentioning this man by the name of Papias? Well, he was a bishop in the church, and one of the things that he has left us is an account of who is the author of the gospel that we call the gospel according to St. Mark. Because if you were to read the gospel of St. Mark, there's nowhere in the gospel where it says that Mark is the author. But listen to what Papias says, and he's actually citing St. John. The elder St. John used to say, Mark, in his capacity as Peter's interpreter, wrote down accurately as many things as he recalled from memory what Peter had told him. And so this is the beautiful thing about Mark's gospel. With Mark, we have the account that was told to him by St. Peter. And as we think about St. Peter, we hear in that passage from today's epistle these words: Your sister church in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, as does my son Mark. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Now, you might be wondering, the church of Babylon? Peter was never in Babylon. What's he talking about? Well, what he is talking about is that he understands that Rome is the new Babylon. You'll remember that for the Jewish people, Babylon was where they were taken in exile 600 years before St. Peter lived. And now Rome is the new Babylon. Nero's Rome, modern-day Babylon. But what Peter says is something remarkable. He says, from here, from this Babylon, things of great importance are taking place. Think about it. From Rome, Peter was able to recount to Mark the events of our Lord's life. And Mark was able to compile that first gospel. From Rome, the message that is expressed at the end of this evening's gospel reading, preached the gospel to the whole creation, occurred. Rome would become the beachhead from where the gospel would go out to the whole world. From Rome, signs and wonders would accompany the gospel. And think about it. The most powerful, the most organized, the most complete political machine that the world had ever seen, the Roman Empire, was not able to thwart the mission of Jesus Christ. Indeed, these words that Peter writes in today's reading are wonderful. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. This is exactly what happened in Rome. The Christians there suffered greatly, as we know from that megalomaniac Nero, who set the city on fire, but then blamed people like Peter and Mark. In ways that Peter would never have witnessed in his earthly life, but would witness from heaven, he indeed saw how Jesus restored, supported, strengthened, and established the church in Rome. On this day, we give thanks to the Lord for St. Mark and the part he has played in the expansion of the gospel. Because of him, we have the earliest of the four gospels. Because of him, Luke and Matthew would have had a copy of his gospel in front of them as they then compiled their gospels and told other stories. And then, in Mark's gospel, there is this detail that is not told in Matthew, it's not told in Luke, and it's not told in John. And it's this. We're in chapter 15, And Mark is describing the arrest of Jesus. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. Scholars believe that this is an autobiographical comment, that the young man is St. Mark himself. And perhaps the very first time he ever saw Peter was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of Jesus's arrest. Imagine how this experience helped to shape his life. We also know that Mark was the nephew of St. Barnabas. And there was a time when Mark, as a young man, was not faithful to a commitment that St. Paul thought he should have fulfilled. And so there was a time of division between Barnabas and St. Paul. Paul said, "We can't trust Mark any longer." But Barnabas, his uncle, said, "I can, and I am going to stay with him." And because of Barnabas's support of his nephew, because of how Barnabas stayed with John Mark, as he's also known, we know that towards the end of St. Paul's life in Colossians, he writes this: "Please send John Mark to me, for he is very useful." Mark was not only useful to St. Paul, he has been useful to the church down through the ages. And when we think of Mark, we think of our own challenges that we face in life, those times when we have been misunderstood, the sufferings that we go through, and also the glory of life. St. Mark, a great apostle who we celebrate this day. St. Mark, pray for us that, like you, we will trust Jesus daily and have confidence that the gospel is indeed the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.